today on Real Radio.
Are you like a ship on the sea without a rudder? You need to come to Jesus if you're not a Christian and find out your course, or if you are a Christian, you need to find the will of God in the Bible. Paul knew what God's will was for his life. He had counted the cost.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What is God's Will for Your Life, continues now in a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys. He was committed to spreading the gospel to the Gentile world. Now Paul is ready for the end of his mission. We all desire as Christians to know what God's will is for our lives. And Paul, well, he was no different. Now in Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, Paul's companions and friends, including Luke, warned him not to go to Jerusalem. It meant certain death for Paul if he went. They, of course, were positive that it was God's will for him not to go, but Paul was determined that the course he was on was the one that God meant for his life. This portion of Scripture has been greatly debated by scholars. What was really God's will for Paul? But we can find God's will when we look further into God's Word. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the easy path is often not God's path. Doing the right thing can oftentimes be painful. It may go against all reason, or your friends may even abandon you. But there is a purpose in fulfilling God's will. Paul had peace, even knowing the outcome. He rested in the fact that the course he was on was the right one. And now continuing his lesson called, What is God's Will for Your Life? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Don't go there. You could die. I've got a course, man. If it's in God's will that I die in that place, so be it. Hallelujah. I go out on a chariot of fire, but I'm not going to stay home. Do you understand? We sin in the area of being careful. I don't want to sign up. Something could happen. You're right. Something could happen. You could get so blessed you won't know what to do with it. But the enemy is going to attack me. He could. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Besides that, I got a course to complete. Isn't it neat? You've heard the saying, well, if you give your heart to Jesus, he's got a wonderful plan for your life. And some people make fun of that little statement. You know that's absolutely biblically correct. You may be ricocheting off the walls of life and you can't figure out which way's up. And then you come to Christ and you have meaning and purpose and direction. Are you like a ship on the sea without a rudder? You need to come to Jesus if you're not a Christian and find out your course, or if you are a Christian, you need to find the will of God in the Bible. Paul knew what God's will was for his life. He had counted the cost. Look at Acts 23. Jump ahead to chapter 23, verse 1. This is after the events of arriving in Jerusalem. After the events of the Holy Spirit saying to Paul, watch it. Be careful. Look at Acts 23, verse 1. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "This." Now he's in Jerusalem. He is getting called before the Sanhedrin. He says, looking earnestly at the council, he said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. He was not fighting the Holy Spirit and going to Jerusalem. But people are saying, Paul, don't go. Don't do it. He had the word of God. Psalm 139, verse 2 says, you know when I sit down and you know when I rise up, you recognize my thoughts afar off. God does. He knows everything. Now, in the last 10 minutes, what have you been thinking about? Last night, 9 o'clock, what were you thinking about? Psalm 139 tells us that God knew about those thoughts before they came even into your heart and head. Well, then why didn't he stop them? He knows they're coming. He wants to see what you're going to do with them. He's a wonderful God. Loves us anyway. And so these things are in Paul's heart. They're saying, don't go. The Spirit's saying, don't go. We need to be careful about these things. Back to verse 21. It says in verse 5 now, in verse 5 we see that there's a purpose to fulfilling God's will in our lives, a wonderful purpose. We are not only to seek God's purpose from His Word, verses 1 through 4, but there's a purpose to fulfilling His Word in verses 5 to 9. When we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were gone out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. Can you imagine this scene right here? First of all, Paul has got to be confirmed regarding the will of God, because watch what's happening. They're saying, don't go. Paul, don't go. And they're going down to the ship. And the people who love him so much, they don't want him to go and get hurt. They don't want him to go to Jerusalem. They got their wives and their kids, babies in the arm. Don't go. Don't go. Can you think about the pressure? Even Luke, in a moment, Luke is going to say, psst, don't go. He's the guy he's traveling with. Everybody says, don't go. People, can we be like Paul, who when we've heard from God after seeking Him in the Word, we know what we're supposed to be doing. We have to carry it out and go through with it. Hear me out. Some of you are going to catch this. Some of you are not going to catch this. Have you ever been told by God to do something and it goes against the tide? And you got to stick to it. You know how painful it is? Don't go. But you've got a call from God, and you know it. I will. Listen, God's going to call us to do things that are painful at times. I mean to tell you, up until the day I got saved, I had good friends. They were good guys. We were totally lost, heathen, hell-bent, pagan sinners. But they were good guys. I could count on them. And the day I got saved, I called them up the next day. Man, you know, I went by this place last night. I got saved. You what? I don't know. It's called getting saved. It was amazing. I never saw those guys again. They never called me. I saw one of them about 10 years ago at a restaurant. And he treated me like I had the plague. I was abandoned by my friends. Painful. And then I'm so excited about the gospel and what He's done in my life that I want to share with people. But I can't share with people because I stuttered so bad. I couldn't speak. But I wanted to tell people. And it was so hard. And it hurt. And then this church, many of you were here working at my career at Baxter. We were doing Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, Saturday morning men's meeting. The fellowship is growing. We're meeting across the street at that time. And I'm seeking the Lord about, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to hand this church over? Because I haven't heard the call from you. So who should I hand it over to? God, speak to me. I went and talked to Pastor Chuck. He said, you got to quit your job. I said, man, you know, we love you. We know, you know, we love you. But I can't do that. I don't think I can do that. So I went around to other pastors trying to get them to agree with me to give it over. And the guy, Richard, up at Grass Valley, tried to get him to take it. You got to take this thing. It's God's doing something. You got to take it. I go to my boss. Before that, God speaks to me on a Wednesday morning. We're praying. God says, go. Go what? I didn't hear a voice. I didn't see a vision. I just knew in that moment that I was to go. And I woke Lisa up. I said, Lisa, God spoke. I'm supposed to quit my job. Are you sure? I said, I'm sure. I can't believe it. What am I going to do? Because what we're doing right now, people, you can probably tell by this message, I did not have a clue about what to do. I didn't. Pastor, that's for other guys, not me. And I went and I told my boss, and he says, that's totally unacceptable. You're not quitting. I said, I thought you're laying everybody off. Well, we are. We're laying 2,000 people off, but you're not scheduled to get laid off, and you're not quitting. I said, I got to quit. He said, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. You're not quitting. I handed him my resignation. I got to quit. No way. You do the church thing, he said, and you work. We'll pay you the same hours. You can work here as you wish. We'll pay you your salary. Do both. I said, I can't do both. I gotta quit. He says, then 6 months. 6 months notice. I said, 4 weeks. 6 months. 4 weeks. He says, I'm not going to change your mind, am I? I said, I can't. I'm under orders. I've got to do this thing. And you know how hard it was, man? I tell you. And do you think, listen, do you think I felt that God was in this? I felt like the exact opposite. I was scared to death. It was hard, but I knew what he had said to do. There's a purpose to fulfilling God's will in your life, people. You're in a great battle in your life right now, maybe, or maybe things are just real quiet and calm. There's a purpose. The Lord loves you. I think Paul was right in sticking to the guns here on this. And we'll wrap this up. Look at verse 8. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea. Beautiful, it's like Newport Beach there. Beautiful place. And entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. Remember him? Seven? Remember the seven guys way back in Acts? This is Philip. 20 years later, Philip. Philip was a good friend of a guy named Stephen. Stephen is the guy that Paul had jurisdiction and authority over to kill. Paul was responsible for Stephen's death. Philip was his friend. 20 years have passed. Hi, Philip, can we stay here? Yeah, who are you? This is Paul and Luke and 500 other guys. Paul? Paul, the guy who killed Stephen, my friend? Slam door. No. 20 years had gone by and Christ had worked in their lives. Listen, Philip, there's no mention of his wife. Historians say that his wife left him because he became a Christian, which is very common in those days. It's common in these days. And, or that she died. But he raised 4 virgin daughters who were prophetesses. They spoke the word of God. What a godly home. Philip has walked now with Christ for over 20 years. We got a phone call last night from a brother that I met in 1979. He's walking with the Lord still. Going to be in LAPD in a few months. Walking with the Lord. Isn't that great news when you see that? People continuing on through hard times and through good times and all of the above. So while they were there, verse 10, as they stayed for certain or many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came from Judea. And when he had come, he took Paul's belt and bound his own hands and his feet and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, who says this? The Holy Spirit through Agabus. This is why, people, I believe that Paul's on the right track. The prophecy is whoever owns this belt is going to be bound in Jerusalem. You see that? The Holy Spirit was speaking that. That means it's got to be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled. Paul is not only on track, but there's a warning here. Paul, just count the cost. You're going to be bound up when you get to Jerusalem. Paul still goes. Verse 13, our final point. Very important. Paul is committed to fulfilling the will of God. Look at this. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? Why is he saying that? Because up in verse 12, they're all concerned about this. They pleaded with him, even Luke. Then Paul answered and said, what do you mean by this weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. How do you stop a guy like this? You don't. nor do I think you're supposed to. And then it says in verse 14, so when he would not be persuaded, we ceased. And so we said this, the will of the Lord be done. People, the will of the Lord be done. God's will be done. God's will be done. Listen carefully. You're going to flinch when you hear this. God's will shall be done. Jesus said, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know that that prayer is answered 99.9% of the time? Did you know it's not always answered? Did you know that God's will not completely be done? And you go, what are you saying? I want to end with this. Think, jot it down if it ministers to your heart. First thought is, God's will shall be done to those who are open and willing to have His will be done. Listen, this is going to bring you some comfort, those of you who are battling with God's will in your life. God's will is revealed in His Word. His Word is His will. God's will is revealed in His Word. God's Word, Bible, is His will. Next thought. Do you want God's will in your life? Don't you think that God, who put that desire in your heart to pursue in the first place, is more willing to bring it to pass than you are willing to seek after it? Oh God, I want your will done. What do you think God says? Oh God, I want your will done in my life. God, answer me. What do you think He says? No. God, show me your perfect will. Sometimes when we're praying, oh God, thy will be done, we see this magician guy with the cups on the table. Try to pick it. Which one? Where is it under? Which one's got it? Listen, the very thought in your heart, when you say, oh God, I want your will done, you know that's not from you. That's from the Holy Spirit working in you. So when God, it's a setup. When you pray, oh God, thy will be done, he nudges Gabriel and says, I told you it'd work. Listen, he's crying out for my will, and I'm going to perform my will in his life. Watch this. He gets all the glory. God wants to fulfill his plan in your life more than you want his plan fulfilled in your life. That's comforting to me. But when is God's will not completed? God's will is not completed when the scripture says in 2 Peter 3:9, 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some people count slackness. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. When is God's will not done? Every time a person dies without receiving Jesus Christ. God wants all of us to be in heaven. But all of us may not make it there, because some of you may be playing religion, or some of you have never really accepted the Lord. Serious thought, isn't it? Man's heart can stand and resist the Holy Spirit. And the Bible decrees that God weeps over the death of the wicked. Why? He's not willing that any should perish. Do people perish? Yes, they do. God's heart is broken over that. Why? Man chooses to go his own way. That's a heavy thought. When is God's will not completed, not fulfilled? When men and women resist the invitation to come to Christ. And that's a serious thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, I know we've gone over, but maybe for a good reason. Maybe for one reason this morning. Maybe it's for one person here today, wanting to know the will of God for our lives. If we're believers, it's laid out before us. Scriptures are clear. Simple things concerning the will of God. The Bible tells us that we are to abstain from sexual immorality. The word is fornication, adultery, and sexual lewdness. Having sex outside of marriage. The Bible says it is God's will that you be pure. It says that. The Bible says it's God's will that you give thanks for all things. That's God's will. The Bible says also that it's God's will that you come to Christ. And if the Spirit is speaking while we're praying, well, there's no reason to belabor it. If God is speaking to you, slip your hand up right now. You want to receive Christ, and you're going to receive the Lord. You're going to ask Him into your life. You're going to give your life to Him. You're going to have direction and purpose. God bless you. You can put your hand down. And you're committing your life to Jesus right now. And He's going to give you an incredible life. It's true. It's a commitment. But you'll never regret it, especially when you draw your last breath right here on this globe. Anyone else want to join this brother in receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior this morning? You're saying yes to Him. You're giving your heart to Him. Put your hand up high wherever you're at. God bless you, the two of you. You can put your hand down over to my right. Anyone else? You're going to commit your way to Christ. Jesus says, if you are heavy laden and burdened, you come to me and I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls. Anyone else would like to join these in confessing Christ? I can't tell if that's a hand in the back or you're worshiping the Lord. God bless you in the back. Praise the Lord. While Chuck is playing, why don't we pray this prayer? And while we pray this prayer, after the service, I'm going to ask you who have received the Lord to get a brand new Bible and get some information about walking with Christ this morning. Repeat after me. You don't have to shout it out. You can just let it roll off your lips. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my life today. I give you my life. I receive you as Lord and Savior. I ask you to take away my sins. Jesus, save me now and give me the strength to walk in your way. May I never turn back from this day of commitment. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, What is God's Will for Your Life? Thanks for listening, and through Paul's obedience to God's will, God turned Paul's prison cell into a pulpit where much of the New Testament was written. What is God's Will for Your Life? Is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, January is right around the corner, and we have a one-year Bible available just for you that we think you're really going to like. It's simply called The One-Year Bible, and it helps you read through the entire Bible in 1 year in about 15 minutes a day. That's pretty good. Now, The One-Year Bible is unique in that no other Through the Bible plan presents the entire Bible in such a user-friendly format. Each 15-minute daily reading program includes a portion from the Old Testament, a portion from the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. Now think about this. It's perfect to include in your personal devotion time or for family Bible reading with children of all ages. And with Christmas coming, wouldn't it make a great gift for a friend or a loved one or maybe even a coworker? One more time, it's called The One-Year Bible, and it's available for purchase right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.